Hello and welcome to episode 181 of the Bid Picture Podcast. I'm your host, Bide Miolukunde. On this episode, I'll talk about how to take back control from a pandemic-fueled hectic work schedule that has taken over most people's personal lives. I'll also talk about how we can redraw boundaries between work life and personal life. I'll talk about how we can say no to busy work that won't advance our careers. I'll touch briefly on the reason why Americans, who are already notorious for not taking vacations, are also not fully disconnecting from work while on vacation. And then I'll wrap up the episode by talking about the relatively new workplace trend that is gaining momentum among Gen Z and millennials. So thank you for your time. Let's get to it. Part 1. Perfectionist tendencies. So most of us put in too many hours. We don't take a vacation and we cannot say no to a 6 a.m. conference call. And underneath it all is something more significant, basically an emotional attachment to our jobs that then exhausts us and squeezes out the other parts of our identities. For several years, we were told to find meaning and purpose at work, while other aspects of modern life, such as spending time with family and even religious activities, receded further and further. And then came the pandemic. Some employees leveraged remote work to sneak in afternoon naps or even slack on one job while hustling one or more side gigs. But for many people, work became our lives. Since March 2020, we've sat down at our computers and we haven't let up since. Now we cannot figure out how to turn it off. So can we learn to care less about work, and what would happen if we let go just a little? So Sarah from New York City says not much would happen. She ran her own experiment a few years ago, and after suffering a panic attack in her Manhattan office, she decided to pull back from the perfectionist tendencies that had propelled her to a senior editor role in the publishing industry. She stopped taking business lunches. She left the office promptly by 6 p.m. every day. She traded her blazers and high heels for Gap corduroys and tennis shoes. No one seemed to care. She said she could have been doing this the whole time. So she left the corporate world. She moved to the Dominican Republic and then wrote a book about opting out of life's draining and useless things. So Sarah says you have to be able to ask yourself three simple questions. Is this real? Is this really something that is part of my job? And do I really have to do it? So sometimes the answer to all these three questions is yes. For example, business lunches might be crucial for you to continue earning a paycheck. However, Sarah advises that something else probably isn't as crucial. As much as a quarter of the stuff you've taken on over the years may be an unnecessary time suck, and you should therefore learn to let those things go. Of course, this is easier said than done. Workers don't live in a vacuum. Some bosses have unreasonable expectations. Tasks have ballooned as colleagues leave in a wave of quitting, or companies opt to stay lean after layoffs. According to a summer survey from the people analytics firm Vizier, nearly 90% of workers said they had experienced burnout over the past year. More than half said their workloads had increased during the pandemic. Some companies say they care, but does any CEO actually want employees to be less obsessed with work? Some firms have tried to fight burnout with listening sessions and extra days off. But many employees say that they end up wedging work in Anyway, so Katie Burke is the chief people officer at HubSpot, which is a Massachusetts-based software firm. She said if she asks for everything and need those things by the following day, then her team will never feel like they can relax and take an actual break. Workers there told executives that meeting-free Fridays were nice, but relaxing deadlines and putting more people or technology on projects would actually help more. So the company began working on it. At a meeting late last year, Ms. Burke instructed her team to lay out three things they wouldn't do before the end of the fourth quarter of 2021, no matter who requests those things. She said productivity might slip in the short term, but easing up helps to keep and attract workers. She added that everyone wants a vibrant life outside of work. So the next step is to figure out what to do during all that extra time you used to spend working. Jana Koretz is a psychologist and founder of Azimuth, a Massachusetts-based therapy practice. She counsels people in high-pressure careers on learning to let go and delegate to capable colleagues. So one issue she frequently observes is that overachievers often throw themselves too zealously into new hobbies. Dr. Koretz advises that instead of jumping into marathon training, just try a 5K. The idea is to make extracurricular activities sustainable, not to pile on different kinds of stress. And also remind yourself that taking a full lunch hour or logging off early to head to your child's soccer game does not make you a bad worker. It doesn't mean you'll get fired, and it doesn't mean you have given up on your team. You might actually end up becoming better at your job if you try those steps. With less things on your plate and more perspective, every task will stop feeling like a fire drill, and you can actually focus on what matters. So up next, I'll talk about how we can gradually take back control and redraw boundaries between work life and personal life. Stay with us. Part 2. No one will believe your boundaries if you don't seem confident in them yourself. So 2 years of working through a crisis, often from the same place that we do everything else, have scrambled our boundaries. Managers now know that we are home. Employees want to prove themselves in a world devoid of FaceTime. And there is a new unspoken contract between bosses and workers. You can work wherever you want, but that flexibility comes at a personal cost. You're expected to always be on, available, and reachable. In Georgia, a funeral home manager was surprised when his team confronted him about his frequent Saturday night text messages about sales quotas. In Massachusetts, an employee of a pharmaceutical company was cornered by her colleague in the office break room, demanding to know why she hadn't responded to his email yet. It was 8:30 a.m. when this cornering happened, and he sent the email at 6:30 a.m. Returning to the office does not appear to have reset the equilibrium for most people. Instead, it can be the worst of both worlds. You lose the freedom of logging on from home, but you still have the back-to-back Zoom meetings and long-time huddles. Restoring some of the boundaries between our jobs and lives requires pushing back graciously and smartly. A good suggestion is to set a timer that would go off 10 minutes before the hour to signal to your video conference colleagues that it is time for you to move on to something else, whether it's cooking dinner, writing a report, spending time playing with your kids, and so on. Consider whether you and a colleague can pair up and cover each other in meetings if family responsibilities such as daycare closure or a child's soccer game or swim practice gradually creep into the workday. Also, talk to your team about how fast you are expected to respond to internal and client emails. Is the pace reasonable? If not, prep with coworkers on what better expectations would look like and discuss the topic with your manager together. Doing it alone could lead to you being stigmatized. And of course, there are risks. Saying no too often could lead to missing out on big projects, alienating your colleagues, or even jeopardizing your career. And yet, saying yes and missing a deadline can be just as detrimental. So learn to read your boss and understand when something is really an emergency that necessitates canceling your plans or not. It's important to note that to some bosses, everything is an emergency. Also, perfect the art of saying no without making it sound like a no. For example, I'm so slammed right now, I'll be available on Monday. Or, I'm so busy, but I know Jennifer has time to help. Nothing is worse than someone just saying no and then walking away and leaving that thing undone. So Christina is a single parent in Lutz, Florida. A few years ago, she started feeling burned out. Her work as a project manager felt like it was taking over her life, and she also seemed oddly robotic and drained of humanity. So she started speaking up. She told her boss that she couldn't juggle more than 4 projects simultaneously without the quality slipping. So instead of tackling after-hours emails, she would respond that she would get to them in the morning. Regarding setting boundaries, Christina said it doesn't feel good and is actually really scary. But eventually, it became liberating. After about 6 months, her colleagues stopped sending late emails. Her project load got lighter, yet everyone remained happy with her work. Christina said the key is to be respectful but resolute. No one will believe your boundaries if you don't seem confident in them yourself. Of course, it's easier to say no and deal with the consequences when you are more senior and you have more job security. However, if you are nervous that you might lose out on would-be clients or irritate your boss, remember that boundaries can come with some wiggle room. Check your calendar. 85% of the time, you should stick to your limits, such as not taking calls after 6 p.m. Some people are finding out that their pandemic habits are becoming hard to break. So Carrie is a communications executive who spent 250 more hours on client work between April 2020 and April 2021. And that was a roughly 30% increase compared with the year prior. Without her commutes and evening gym routine, she found it hard to log off. Even when she returned to her Washington, D.C. office twice a week in the spring of 2021, she still found herself hunkering down with writing projects and flipping through emails after hours. She tried leaving her phone in her home office starting at 6 p.m. She even tried banishing her phone from the bedroom at night. So one thing finally brought her some relief. She joined 2 soccer leagues, which have 7 p.m. games that last a few hours. In addition, playing requires being present, which helped break the hold that being online and available around the clock had on her. So up next, I'll talk about how to say no to busy work that won't advance our careers. Stay with us. Part 3, Jason from Marketing. So the chorus of asks and requests that demand our time has always been present in the workplace. There's always a committee to join, some launch events for summer interns to plan for, and Jason from Marketing, who can never figure out how to prepare a PowerPoint presentation. However, as we gradually head back to the office full-time, it is harder to hide from busy work. Colleagues are eager to unload administrative tasks once absorbed by a shrinking population of executive assistants. Bosses feel pressure to check off requests from their superiors for yet another report or spreadsheet, and you happen to be just the person to do it. These days, there's so much work being done that no one even looks at. So how do you identify which requests are valuable and which are mere busy work that doesn't move your career forward and just eats up time? And how do you say no without killing your reputation as a team player, especially when you like being known as the person who does it all and you fear that your boss wouldn't be happy if you don't do it all? When Ravi, an executive coach in Minneapolis, works with clients who are burned out, he often finds that they are stuck in a torrent of work that is not what they were hired to do. For example, one product management leader at a tech company realized that she was spending more than 20% of her time on diversity training and interviewing candidates for other teams. It turned out those were important tasks, but not what our bosses wanted her to focus on. Once on track for a promotion back in February 2021, she was told that she hadn't done enough big strategic work to earn that promotion. According to a study from Liz Vesterlund, an economist at the University of Pittsburgh, women are asked 44% more often than men to do non-promotable work, and they are 50% more likely to say yes. In addition, requests for employees of color to help fix companies' diversity and equity failings, often without additional compensation, skyrocketed after a national conversation on race following the murder of George Floyd in the summer of 2020. Some extra tasks, such as mentoring young colleagues, can be deeply meaningful and essential, even if they don't inflate an employee's salary or bonus or immediately affect the company's bottom line. And saying no can be risky. From what Dr. Vesterlund has seen, those who never help out in such tasks likely get fired. So instead, put some rules in place, such as only spending an hour planning those return to office events and not writing more than 3 letters of recommendation per month. Any request that would push you over those quotas gets an immediate no. So prepare the response in advance. You're sorry you cannot do it, but here is a suggestion for someone who can help. Another boundary to set is to wait if you receive a request that goes to more than 10 people. Then see if someone raises their hand first. Short of that, suggest that the team establish a rotating schedule so that everyone takes a turn. Shalini works at a software company in Alexandria, Virginia. When she was asked to work on a big new project, her first thought was that it was too many hours for a human being. Then her boss told her to look at a calendar and start crossing stuff out. She said she felt like she had learned a secret. Those 90-minute meetings where she might speak for 5 minutes can be easily scrapped. And the weekly one-on-one meetings with her manager and some teammates would work just as well once a quarter. After all, so much of our work can slip into corporate performance over time. Routines we keep following simply because they are so well worn. So when an ample opportunity arrives, think of it as a reminder of what is worth your time, not another task threatening to implode your already busy schedule. Another technique is to try negotiating. For example, you can serve on this panel now, but next year you would like a plum role on the compensation committee. Or you could push back by getting more information, such as, Will the task be part of your year-end review, or how would it be measured? So up next, I'll talk about why Americans, who are already notorious for not taking vacations, are not fully disconnecting from work while on vacation. Stay with us. Part 4. Being away made them anxious about layoffs. More Americans are taking vacations, but that doesn't mean they stay off work emails or truly check out. US workers, already notorious for not taking time off, are now vacationing in numbers not seen in recent years, booking flights and heading out on getaways they had put off because of pandemic disruptions. According to a recent survey of more than 2,000 people by Allianz Partners USA, nearly 60% of Americans say they took at least a week of vacation in the past year, up from 44% in 2021, who said the same. Many, though, say they are not taking a real break, and they point to a hot but turbulent job market as one of the biggest reasons. Millions of US workers have recently left or switched jobs, and some say they are reluctant to completely check out for a week or two while still settling in with new employers. Others say they worry that there isn't enough staff to fully cover for them if they go totally offline. In a June survey of senior executives by Korn Ferry, which is an executive search firm, 60% said they would be more in touch with work while vacationing this year than on previous vacations. In addition, more than a third said they plan to check in with the office multiple times a day, compared with 19% who expected to do so in 2021. Nearly half of the 300 executives in the Korn Ferry survey pointed to staff shortages as the reason they felt stressed about turning on their out-of-office replies. One third said they worried work wouldn't be done well enough in their absence. A smaller share, 15%, said being away made them anxious about layoffs. A June survey of 1,000 workers conducted by workforce analytics firm Vizier found that a majority admitted to staying in touch with work on vacation, and most of them worry about tasks piling up or them missing something important. Workers' getaway plans are showing up on company vacation calendars, according to human resources software provider Namely. The share of employees who requested time off in June and July rose to 20.4% of workers at 1,300 mid-sized firms, compared to 18.5% for the same period in 2021 and 17.7% in 2020. However, that is still below the 25.1% who did in 2019. The US is one of the few major economies that does not guarantee workers vacation time. About 1 in 4 private sector workers don't receive paid vacation from their employer, according to the Center for Economic and Policy Research, which is a Washington think tank. That is one reason why Americans take 14 days off a year on average, while Europeans take about 24 days off on average every year. And that's according to workforce tech firm Skynova. Some Americans who worked remotely for much of the past 2 years say that they are accustomed to work spilling into their downtimes, and they are continuing that habit on vacation. Some companies are taking steps to keep work from invading employees' vacation times. Since earlier this year, PwC now requires partner-level approval before an employee's vacation can be cancelled or interrupted. The company analyzed vacation interruptions across its teams and found that most of them didn't need to happen. Often, it was a less experienced person who thought that whatever it was couldn't wait. So a partner can better evaluate whether such an interruption is necessary or can justify waiting until the employee returns to work. Up next, I'll talk about the relatively new workplace trend known as quiet quitting. Stay with us. Part 5. They quickly realize that having a job isn't all fun and games. So not taking your job too seriously now has a new name, quiet quitting. So this phrase is generating millions of views on TikTok as some young professionals reject the idea of going above and beyond in their careers, labeling their lesser enthusiasm a form of quitting. However, these employees say that it is not about getting off the company payroll. Rather, the idea is to stay on the company's payroll, but focus your time on the things that you do outside the office. So the videos on TikTok range from sincere ruminations on work-life balance to snarky jokes. Some set firm boundaries against overtime in favor of family. Others advocate coasting from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., doing just enough to get by. Many want to untether their careers from their identities, and on and on. Of course, every generation enters the workforce and quickly realizes that having a job isn't all fun and games. Navigating contemptible bosses and the petty indignities that have always been inflicted on the ranks of working stiffs have never been easy. And many people who say that when they are young, they don't care about climbing the corporate ladder, end up changing their minds. So the difference now is that this group has TikTok and hashtags to express how they really feel. And these 20-somethings joined the workforce during the pandemic with all of its dislocating and debilitating effects, including blurred boundaries between work and life. Many workers say that they have the power to push back in the current strong labor market. So across generations, U.S. employee engagement is falling, according to survey data from Gallup. But then Gen Z and younger millennials, who were born in 1989 and after, reported the lowest engagement of all during the first quarter at just 31%. Jim Hatta is the chief scientist for Gallup's workplace and well-being research, and he said workers' descriptions of quiet quitting align with a large group of survey respondents that he classifies as not engaged. So basically those who would show up to work and do the bare minimum required, but not much else. So more than half of the workers surveyed by Gallup who were born after 1989 fall into this category, so about 54%. One factor that Gallup uses to measure engagement is whether people feel their work has a purpose. The data show that younger employees report that they don't feel that way. Dr. Hatta said these are people who are more likely to work passively and look out for themselves over their employers. A new crop of quiet quitting videos is starting to pop up. So basically denouncing the move as a cop-out, not a cure-all for burnout or discontentment at work. So the people who coast, also known as slackers, have been fixtures of the office for decades. But many of today's less invested employees have been able to skate by thanks to remote work. So to wrap up, on this episode, I talked about how to take back control from a pandemic-fueled hectic work schedule that has taken over most people's personal lives. I also spoke about how we can redraw boundaries between work life and personal life. I also touched on how we can say no to busy work that won't advance our careers. And then I talked about the reason why Americans who are already notorious for not taking vacations are not fully disconnecting from work while on vacation. And then I wrapped up the episode by talking about the relatively new workplace trend that is gaining momentum among Gen Z and millennials, also known as quiet quitting. So that's all I have for this episode 181 of the Big Picture Podcast. Thanks for listening. Big Picture Podcast is produced by Sunshine Media in association with Alowunle Productions. Fact-checking by Zara Kuznetsova. Audio engineer, Sergey Gorsky. Graphic design, Stacey Graham. Senior producer, Abidemi Ologunde. Executive producers, Olufolani Ologunde and Tobiloba Ologunde. Please join me again on the next episode as I continue with a deep dive on cybersecurity's news, events, and incidents, and the lessons we can learn from them for robust cyber threat intelligence and awareness in our daily lives. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Big Picture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, please share the show with anyone that you think might benefit from it. For questions, comments, or any suggestions, please send an email to bdme@thebigpicture.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @BigPicture, on the Clubhouse app @Big, as well as on the Wisdom app @BDME. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast if your platform allows you to do so. Thank you for your time. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.